This is Jerry Sands. You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News.
You're listening to H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, home of the official, unofficial podcast in English of your first place Hanshin Tigers, and your passion for the Tigers knows no limits right here. Today is Wednesday, April the 21st, and this is episode 126. I am your host, T-Ray, and with me today, I've got JD in Kyoto. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing pretty good. Thank you guys for holding down the fort in my absence last time around. It was a good show.
Thanks, appreciate it. Well, glad to have you back. And also, we have got Sanjay back in Hawaii, in paradise. How you doing, brother?
Aloha, brother T-Ray and brother JD. I'm doing all right, if a little bit sleep-deprived. These 2 a.m. finishes are starting to get to me, but it's okay. It's for a good cause.
Well, the good news is, the games definitely end after 9 innings, and also the games have more often than not been ending on a positive note. So good on you, good on the Tigers. Well, you guys, we have got a great show for you as we recap this triumphant fortnight. Well, really, the season has been quite excellent so far. We're also going to talk about the real Gaijin problem, and we'll tell you a little bit more about what that means later in the show. So strap in and join us for a great ride. It's time for the Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. Rumors and News.
Well, speaking of Gaijin, which, of course, if you don't know by now, is the Japanese word meaning outside person, foreigner. In our case, it would be import. And our final two Gaijin, Gaikokujin, to put it more politely, arrived in Japan and have now finished their quarantine period. That would be Mel Rojas Jr. and Raul Alcantara. They completed their quarantine on the 18th, and they held their press conferences on the 19th, just a couple of days ago. So they are ready to see some action. In fact, they were down on the farm working out yesterday. I don't think they got into the game, but they did actually join the team. And so they are with the boys. They are in their uniforms, and I'm pretty sure they're chomping at the bit. I mean, they had great seasons in Korea last year. I think they are ready to roll and prove themselves at this higher level and help this Tigers team to get even better, even stronger, and even scarier.
Yeah, I mean, if they can do what they did last season in Korea over here, man, I mean, our team is looking good.
If they can do 80% of what they did there, we're still looking good. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. We're making room for them. I mean, they were already signed to, you know, in the 70-man roster, but we got rid of one of our guys from that 70-man roster. That would be Masaki Tanigawa, who was a seventh round pick back in 2017, I believe it was, 2016, maybe 2017, I think. We gave him to the Nippon Ham Fighters for straight up hard cold cash. Much like we did when we acquired Yamamoto from the Giants and we gave them a bit of money. Now we're giving Tanigawa to the Fighters. It's kind of a win-win in a sense. Like he was performing all right on the farm for us this year especially, but even last year he looked pretty good on the farm. He never really looked good on the top squad. Could just be the change of venue that does things for him. I mean, you look at guys like, and they haven't really like excelled with the Buffaloes, but guys like Kaneda and Takeyasu went to the Buffaloes, and they have seen some top squad action. So this could be the break that he needs just to get in. And the reason we did this is because on the 70-man protected players roster, we had 69 guys signed, leaving room for one more. And teams like to leave that little bit of leeway, because if something happens mid-season, you need to pick somebody up on the fly. Or in the case of the Tigers, historically, the Gaijin don't pan out and you need a new Gaijin. Well, you need to sign that guy up, right?
Ouch.
And so, yeah, truth hurts. So we have a guy on our development squad who doesn't count in that 70-man roster named Dan Onodera, who has been showing nothing but hunger since he got picked in the 2019 developmental draft and has been quite good, has been developing quite well. And they signed him to a regular contract, I think the day after Tanigawa was traded. So Onodera goes from wearing number 127 to wearing number 97. And he's looking to make an impact. He's an outfielder. I think he's just got like a decent mix of everything. Like he's not overly powerful. He's not overly fast. He's not overly strong on defense, but he's kind of good at everything. if that makes sense. And so we're looking to see what he's going to do. I would like to see him, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the top squad at some point. I feel like right now, as far as our position players go, we've got a glut of guys in the middle infield who aren't doing anything. A, because maybe they can't. They're just not that good. And B, because the guys that are in right now are that good. So there's no playing time for guys like Kinami and Hojo. And even Yamamoto has seen very little playing time in the past week. So if we swap one of those guys out and bring in Onodera, it gives us a bit of extra depth in the outfield. And players that are hungry, man, you got to bring them in while they've still got that fire in the belly. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's got it for a long time, but do it now.
Yeah, and he's been pretty good on the farm so far too, right? I seem to remember a batting average of 320, something like that.
Something like maybe that, yeah.
I might be saying, yeah. So,
yeah, I'd like to add that I think from all indications, he has one of the best personalities. He's well liked, full of energy, and also he's got the needled character. Like Arai used to be needled by Kanemoto, or Fujimoto used to be needled by Kanemoto. Dan Onoda is a guy that everybody likes to pick on in a loving way, and he kind of really brings a lot of energy and a lot of good vibes to the team.
Fully agree with that. And so, I mean, I couldn't be happier. I mean, I've liked the guy since they drafted him, and, you know, I haven't seen a ton, but what I have seen, I have liked, and that is a part of it for sure, Sanjay, definitely. So speaking of moves up and down from the farm to the main squad and so on, we made our first such transactions on the 19th, on Monday, when Daichi Ishii, who was our eighth round pick last year, and Ren Kajiya, whom we picked up from the SoftBank Hawks, from their discard pile, they got sent down to the farm after having a couple of rough outings on the top squad. And in their place yesterday, the 20th, we called up Kosuke Baba and John Edwards. And so Edwards then becomes the fifth gaijin on the top squad, which means that we're full as far as that goes. And we're going to talk about that puzzle later in the show, so look forward to that. And in their final bit of news, it's actually somewhat unrelated to Hanshin, or at least current players, but a former player, and speaking of Gaijin coming in mid-season, our dear friend, Jan-Harvis Solarte, he of the famous home run call on the walk-off home run at Koshien a couple years back, has apparently released a new single. I think he's got a couple of tunes. He's got a YouTube channel that he's trying to build up an audience for. This single is called Irani. I probably pronounced it wrong, but JD, I heard you gave it a little bit of a spin. What are your thoughts?
You guys. Okay, if you haven't seen this, get on YouTube right away and watch it. It is just, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just absolutely classic. I almost feel like we should devote a whole show just to that video because it's just too great. But yeah, you'll see what I mean when you get on there. But, you know, it's funny. Baseball players have this sort of history of music, right? Like Yankees, Bernie Williams. I don't know if you guys ever listened to any of the music that he produced.
I didn't.
Pretty good. It's actually pretty good. It's not so bad. I mean, if you're into the whole smooth jazz kind of blues thing, Bronson Arroyo, former Red Sox pitcher amongst other teams, has like a grunge cover album and stuff. So it's not anything new, but I think Solarte brought something entirely different to this one. And yeah, you just check it out. It's a classic.
Heck, even Warren Cromarty, who played for the Yomiuri Giants, put out some music as well. I think he's a drummer. And so even in Japan, I guess it was a bit of a thing as far as that goes. Mm.
Now, wasn't there another former Tigers player who they hired to sing some songs that was... it was a little bit off key.
Yeah, I don't know if they paid him or not. I don't know if he deserved a paycheck for that. But yeah, Tom O'Malley with his rendition of both Rocco Roshi and Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Yes, for sure. So
okay, I'm gonna put Solarte and him in the vaguely the same class.
Same league. Okay, gotcha. All right, guys. Well, before we get into recapping the wonderful 10 games that were, we got to thank some of our patrons. I want to give a shout out to Richard Geiwitz. Thank you so much for the patronage. Tom Zilla, the curator of the Being Kansai social media. Check him out if you want to follow up on what's going on in the Kansai region, especially if you can't be here but want to know what's new. William Schofield is going to join me at Koshien one of these years when COVID settles down. I'm hoping it's this year, but that remains to be seen. And finally, Michael Schulke, who is on the digital platform and gets all good things digital at Patreon, including At the end of this month, we are going to be doing an online viewing of a game. We're going to have a viewing party together. So Michael will be in on that, as well as I think William said he's going to join. And I'm extending it to all patrons. So if you are thinking about joining us on Patreon, now's the time. There will be a link for our meetup on Patreon. So only if you're in, you get to see it, and you can join us and have a lot of fun. And we can watch the Tigers win a game together. When we left off, the Tigers were coming off a big win against the Giants. It was the first game of the season against said Giants, and we beat them nicely at home with Nishi throwing the complete game, shortened game. I think it was a 6-2 win. We resumed that series then with Masashi Ito, our second round pick last year, picking up his first win of the year, going 7 innings and allowing just 1 run against these Giants. Meanwhile, Chikamoto and Itohara contributed on the first 4 runs of the game in the 3rd and 4th innings. Sands hit a home run in the 5th inning, and Oyama with an RBI in the 6th. 7-1. There was no doubt about this one right from the start. This one was ours, and Ito looked good as someone facing our biggest rival on the big stage, you know, for what, his second start of the year. Not too shabby.
No, not at all.
And we're looking for the sweep then on Thursday the 8th. And unfortunately, we did not get it because we ran into Yuki Takahashi, the Giants lefty pitcher, who apparently has only given up 1 earned run all season so far in 22 innings. So he is kicking butt, and he kicked our butts. Akiyama did fairly well, giving up just 2 runs over 7 innings. Unfortunately, one of them was a Sakamoto home run in the 1st inning. So that put us behind before we even got to the plate. He gave up another run in the 4th, and then Taiki Ono gave up a solo home run in the 9th inning. So we win that series, 2-1, which gives us a bit more buffer room between us and the Giants, which is what we want, what we need. And we head to our home park in Yokohama for a 3-game series on the weekend. And, you know, Sanjay had predicted, oh, we're gonna take this. It's the Bank of Yokohama. And at this point, Yokohama was, I mean, they were looking pretty bad, but they were actually looking like they were heating up, possibly. It looked like they could get Soto and Austin back for a game at the end of the series. They didn't end up doing so, but we cooled them right back down. And it started on Friday with a bang, a boom, and a new satellite heading into orbit. So the Tigers won 9-2, just to ruin the fun for you of going through the game yourself. But Fujinami on the bump, 7 innings pitched, 2 runs against, 5 hits, 4 walks. I don't really care how many guys he walks, as long as like his whip, the number of guys he's allowing on base is kept to, you know, about what he did in this one. 9 base runners in 7 innings is nothing to sneeze at, and I don't care how they get there. The 2 runs against came with the game in hand in the 7th inning, and there was kind of question as to whether they would trot him out again or not. He could have gone 6 shutout innings and left with a perfectly clean slate, but they didn't. That's okay. Marte with 3 hits, 2 RBIs. Oyama with 3 hits, 3 RBIs. So our cleanup guy's doing great. But the story of this game has got to be rookie Teruaki Sato, who hit a ball clear out of Yokohama Stadium. And we're not talking like right along one of the foul poles. I mean, this was to right center, probably among the deepest parts of the park. And the announcer got it right. As Sato is running the bases, he says something to the effect of, "Yokohama Stadium is just too small for Teruaki Sato." Brilliant quote, brilliant home run. Any thoughts, guys, on that game and that home run?
Just an absolute bomb. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, you've seen, you know, a couple guys hit balls out of the park, like you said, but usually along the lines. I've never seen anything go there. And there was no doubt about it, too. It was way over the fence. So yeah. That thing came down somewhere over in Chiba somewhere. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Yano was saying that it went over the Hatosabure sign, the well-known confectionery from Kamakura area. And so... I think that perhaps Sato has some like a 1-year supply of Hatosabure coming his way.
He does. He got something from them. I don't know if it was a year's supply, but he definitely got something out of the deal. And, you know, rightfully so. You know, if I
remember correctly, he hit that home run off of Kuniyoshi, right? Who then proceeded to give up like 4 or 5 more.
Six,
so I think
yeah.
that was just, Yeah, that was just like the most demoralizing thing. He just completely ruined that guy's night. So felt kind of bad for him. But hey, you know, that's the game.
Well, I'm pretty sure he demoralized more than just Kuniyoshi. Although, yeah, certainly, I mean, that has got to hurt. And Kuniyoshi is a guy that actually had pretty good success against us in the past couple of years. I always hated when he came to the mound because I was like, oh, great. Here we go. Another couple of shutout innings. But not no more. I mean, I hope this lights a fire under all our guys and definitely demoralizes that poor young man. So I think, though, the whole BayStars team really took that personally because the next day they withered even further against Aoyagi. So it's the Saturday. It's the middle game of the match. And Aoyagi goes, was it 7 innings of shutout ball, I believe it was. 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. So, you know, very few guys on the base paths in those 7 innings. Oyama with the opening RBI and then a big home run to extend the lead in the 9th inning by Jerry Sands. But just before that, actually, in the bottom of the 8th, with the score still 1-0, Nakano with a great catch. I think it was on a Miyazaki liner that I think if Nakano hadn't been cheating over, would have gone through, gone up the middle, and they would have scored the tying run. And so a big play there that we got to acknowledge. But 4-0 win, and we take the second game of this series. And then the third game, we finish them off with Gunkel going 6 1/3 innings, giving up 3 hits, including one, I think it was a solo home run, walked 1, struck out 5. And we scored a couple runs early in this one, thanks in large part to a double steal. There was a double steal by, was it Chikamoto and Itohara, if I'm not mistaken? And then it was when Oyama was at bat, he grounded one up the middle, and our dear friend Yamato, you know, The first run was going to score. The second run only scored because he threw it over the first baseman's head. And so we got the 2-0 lead, and then we extended that lead to 3-0 later on. And then they came back with a couple of runs. It was a little bit nerve-wracking in the 8th inning, but we got through that, and then Suarez shut the door on them in the 9th. So we complete the sweep, 9-2, 4-0, and 3-2, and we are looking as good as ever, if not better. And it's only going to get better as we keep talking about these games that we played, because we faced the Hiroshima Carp next at Koshien, and despite the rain out on the Tuesday game, they slid over the pitchers for the second game, and so it was supposed to be Nishi versus Morishita, and on Tuesday they ended up doing that on Wednesday instead. And guys, you know Morishita and our history against Morishita. And not it's not a
good.
Pretty one.
No,
it's not a very long history, but it's not a very good history. But we did it finally today, or on this particular day. This is the 14th of April. Nishi went 8 innings, allowing 4 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. So he threw some shutout ball. Nakano with the opening RBI in the 2nd inning, and then Sato with a huge home run, I think in the 4th inning was it. And then Marte also hit a home run. Those both came against Morishita, so we knocked him out of the game. I think we tagged him for 5 runs, 4 of which were earned, if I'm not mistaken. So those were the first runs he allowed this season against anyone, but those were also the first runs we got against him in ages. Well, we cruised to a 6-0 victory, and we kept the shutout theme going the next game with Akiyama on the bump. 7 shutout innings, 3 hits, 3 walks, and we had a couple of 2-run home runs, one from Oyama, I think it was his first of the season, finally, in game, 17, and then, or 16, 17, and then Sato with another home run as well, a 2-run shot, and so a 4-0 victory, back-to-back shutouts against the Carp at Koshien. Can't complain there, especially with the way, actually, their bats were quite hot, and especially Kikuchi, but we cooled him off and cooled off their entire lineup quite nicely in those two games. Let's keep the shutout thing going for one more game, shall we? We continue to play at home. This time it is against the Yakult Swallows, and it is Fujinami versus Ishikawa. This is a game that I think people will remember for a good long time, or I feel they might. Fujinami did not complete 6 innings. He went 5 2/3, hit a couple of guys, walked 3 guys, and struck out 6, but he kept them off the board through his 5 2/3, and actually in the bottom of the 5th, he's the one that did the damage. He hit a 2-run home run, his first ever home run at Koshien Stadium. So obviously the hero of the game is Fujinami. This one went a long ways. And I think just before that, if I'm not mistaken, Umeno had stolen second base. And so Umeno was just trying to help him to, you know, get in scoring position. Well, didn't need it because that ball, I think, traveled 130 meters, 131 meters, something like that. Crazy. But Fujinami with a great at bat, working it to a full count just to get there, and then just crushed it. So 2-0 was the final score. That was it. That was all the scoring that happened on either side in that game.
Now, Sanjay, that home run by Fujinami, that put him in some pretty rare company, right, in terms of the record books?
That's right. That was the first game that was decided by a home run by a pitcher since Enatsu did his no-no and sayonara home run back in 1973.
So that's what, only 48 years? Well, whatever. No, pretty impressive. Amazing. But Fujinami, yeah, I mean, like, he looks like he's locked in on both ends. And, you know, although we have not seen his best yet on the mound, I don't think, he's been good enough. We can see that he's got the stuff to get people out. And he's also, the big difference between him this year and in years past, is composure. Even when he walks a couple of guys or he's in tight situations, he's been able to get out of it, and he doesn't look like he's lost or like he's panicking or like he was lucky to get out of these situations. Like, he looks like he's still in control, and that makes all the difference. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does the rest of the way. Hopefully he'll be able to, you know, take things up a notch. I don't care if he does so with the bat, but with his arm, I think he's capable of doing even more. And man, our starting rotation is unbelievable right now. And, you know, him not even performing his best and still being as good as he is a great sign for us. Okay, we got a couple more games to talk about, a couple more wins to talk about, a couple more explosive games, we should say. So Saturday, we continue, Saturday was rained out. So we continue on Sunday then against the Swallows. And we blow up with an 8-0 lead, Gunkel on the bump, going six innings and allowing just one run. And I think that came in the sixth inning, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it did. So we scored eight runs early on, including five in the third inning. And in the fourth inning, Marte gave us a two-run home run. So that would be his fourth home run. Pardon me, his second home run, third home run of the season. Pardon me.
What kind of home run was that by Marte?
It was a Marte McFly. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's been my hashtag on Twitter. Whenever he hits a home run, Marte McFly.
With a little trademark sign, right?
Yeah, the little TM on it as well. Yeah, you know it. So 8-0, but this one was not nearly as comfortable a win as you'd expect for an 8-0 lead. Well, first of all, our shutout streak got snapped at 33 innings when they scored that one run in the top of the sixth. But then in the seventh inning, this is where we get into our guys that got farmed. Daichi Ishii gave up four runs in that inning. Did not look very good at all in doing so. He actually needed Iwasada to come in and bail him out. Then Ren Kajiya gave up a couple more runs in the top of the eighth, and he needed Iwazaki to bail him out. And so this was supposed to be a game where the quote-unquote good pitchers got rest, and they didn't, because then Suarez came in for the save because the lead was only three runs at that point. We won it 10-7, but it could have been so much better. I'm not going to complain, though. You know, a win is a win, and we got it, and the bullpen is bound to have some meltdowns and stuff, and the fact that our bats were able to cover tells it all. So a two-game sweep against the Carp, two-game sweep against the Swallows that week at Koshien. We head to Tokyo Dome, where last night we started a three-game set against the Giants. And this one as well started out looking really rosy and exciting, and it was, but this one also was not as smooth as it could have been. We actually took a 5-0 lead after the top of the third. Thanks in large part to Marte McFly with a big home run in the top of the fourth, top of the first, his fourth home run, and then another home run, his next at bat in the top of the third. It was a two-run job, and that was followed up by an Oyama solo home run, his second on the season, so 5-0, but Nishi was just not his usual self. Man, you guys, I gotta admit, that home run by Matsubara, did you guys see it?
It was a dome run for sure.
I mean, they gotta have fans blown out there, because this is not a very big or strong boy, right? The ball was not in the zone. He might have barreled it, but it looked like he had one hand on the bat when he, you know, when he finished his swing. It was not like a Sato swing by any means, not even close, right? And this thing was like a high fluttering fly ball. I swear, man, the fans blew that thing out. Not the fans in the stands, but actual, like, blowing fans. But anyway, so that was a two-run job. Nishi, actually, though, just, I mean, he didn't look great. He left after five innings and giving up four runs. The Tigers, though, came to life and said, we're putting some insurance up on the board. It went from 5-4 and, oh no, what's going to happen, to 6-4, 8-4, 10-4. And that came thanks to a Sands home run and also an Oyama home run and an Umeno RBI double. It would look to be a bases clearing RBI double. Didn't quite make it. Sato was out at home. And then Edwards came in the bottom of the ninth, gave up a run. 10-5 final. We take the first game at Tokyo Dome. How long did it take us to win one at Tokyo Dome last year? Or the year before? Yeah. I mean, I don't care how we win that first game at Tokyo Dome. We won it. And quite convincingly. So there you have it. The Tigers then, I don't know, like Sanjay and I tried to do predictions last week and like, no, the Tigers like completely exceeded our expectations. I think we said like, oh, maybe 7-4-1, like there'll be three games above 500. No, 9-1 during this stretch, you guys. Yeah. And like four shutouts for our pitchers. Like total dominance. Our team is now 16 wins and four losses. This is the best start the team has ever had in the two league era. I just looked it up. The last time that they were close to this was in 2008 when they were 15-5. Let's not talk about 2008. Choke. But pretty good stuff out of our team so far. I mean, nothing to complain about. And that's why the hot topic is not going to be what do we need to fix, but rather we've got an embarrassment of riches and these first world problems that we are going to address.
May I also point out that in all those 16 wins that we had, we scored first every single time?
Yes. That's right. And every time that we've scored first, we have won. And the four losses, we did not score first, right?
And it's also our first eight-game winning streak since July of 2014, apparently, is what the announcers were saying yesterday. So there you go.
And that was when I first became a fan. So, like, I barely remember
that. You've had a long drought, man. You've had a long drought. Yeah.
Well, so if we can win tonight and have a nine-game streak, like, I don't know when the last time we had a nine game streak or 10 game streak or whatever. Like, let's keep this going, boys.
Wait. What's this if? Thank you.
So let me also add too, I have a lot of these little factoids that I like to share. Oyama, when he has an RBI, we have a 19 win streak going. The last time that we had five home runs was also against the Giants, speaking of dome runs. This was back in 2019. When Itoi had one, Oyama had one, Fukudome had one, and Umeno and Kinami each had one. The last time a cleanup trio, as they say in Japan, the 3-4-5 hitters, had five home runs, also Tokyo Dome, back in 2001, Hamanaka had one, Cruz had three, and Hiyama had five. Hiyama had one.
Gotcha.
So that was number five for him.
Well, so we've got a cleanup of Moss, right? Moss Burger. Go. Marte, Oyama, and Sands. And then even if we add Sato in, it's extra mossy.
And also Umeno has a .643 runners in scoring position batting average.
Yeah.
Kudos to him.
Mr. Clutch, man. Holy cow. Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy is the only word that comes out of my mouth, too. Like, it's just unfathomable that he could be that clutch. But he does it, man. He does it. So Marte with a couple of big home runs yesterday, Sands with a home run, and Edwards getting an appearance. This is somewhat of a problem, you guys. Not the kind of problem that people dread, but rather like this is something that, I mean, Yano's got to be just kind of shaking his head and chuckling to himself or whatever. He's given the Michael Jordan 1992 NBA Finals shrug off to the press, going like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what's going on, because we have a gaijin limitation in NPB. We're only allowed to have five imports on the top squad, four on the bench for any given game. And we have got eight imports now that Mel Rojas Jr. and Raul Alcantara are here and ready to play ball. This means that at least three of these guys have to spend some time down on the farm. Now, here is the issue, right? We've got five guys up on the top squad, and Edwards just got called up, as we mentioned earlier. So he's got just one inning pitch, one run against, but we'll leave that stat off to the side for a bit. Let's look at our other guys. So Marte's batting 273, slash line of 273, 388, 530. So his OPS is what, 918? Five home runs, 12 RBIs. He's got a good K to BB ratio and batting 294 with runners in scoring position. Sands, sorry, if you want to take notes, you guys, you can, listeners as well. 303, 400, 621 for an OPS of 1.021. Six home runs, 17 RBIs, good K to BB ratio, and 368 with runners in scoring position. Suarez, our closer, he ain't going nowhere. Nine innings pitched, five hits, one run against, and that was in a non-safe situation. Nine strikeouts, a 1.00 ERA. And Joe Gunkel, whom I think probably most people assumed would be the farm boy, 24 and two-thirds innings pitched in four starts, 14 hits, three earned runs, 20 strikeouts. This is for a guy that claims he's not a strikeout pitcher, and a 1.09 ERA, four wins. So those are the four guys that have firmly planted themselves on the top squad. None of them looks weak right now. And then Edwards is kind of the question mark of, like, they called him up because Kajiya and Ishii didn't work. And I think maybe he's just warming a spot for one of the other three guys down on the farm. But what do you do with this import squad? That's the question. And the question I want to throw to you guys is, assuming that these imports stay healthy and keep playing at this level, what do you do with Rojas, Alcantara, and Chen down on the farm? Or do you do anything with them?
Give it to Sanjay here.
That's a loaded question. Man, I have no idea. Because who are you gonna remove, right? There's just no, you have no real solid argument for saying sit down Marte or sit down Jerry or sit down Joe Gunkel, the de facto ace of the staff at the moment, or Suarez. So you got to find a way to leave the fifth spot and rotate the others around, I guess, is the only way I can figure it out.
I'd say, I mean, we're going to have to wait and see really what Rojas Jr. and Alcantara do. You know, I think everything is going to depend on that. If they, you know, if it takes them a while to sort of settle in and they're not, you know, doing particularly well even on the farm, which, I mean, this, I don't see that happening, but it's right. A possibility, I suppose, right? I mean, that makes things a little bit easier because you just sort of keep things the way they are. But if Rojas, for example, starts just absolutely mashing farm pitching and it's clear that he's got to come up, then what? I mean, you know, I don't even know. You know, I almost feel like, and people are probably going to scream at me for saying this, but I mean, could we theoretically, with the rules that they are now, could we theoretically have Marte, Sands, and Rojas in the lineup in one shot?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think we could, but then that screws with what we do with the rest of the import situation, right?
Exactly. So what I'm thinking there is then we have to keep Suarez, we have to keep Gunkel, both of them, which means that the only other person who could give way, I mean, would be Oyama, I suppose, but we're not going to get rid of him,
Sato?
Obviously. Sato. I mean, so with Sato, I think it's tricky because obviously, yes, he can hit absolute bombs, right? When he gets a hold of one, it's gone. But, you know, I look at his plate discipline, right? You look at not just the fact that he's got a lot of strikeouts and his batting average is relatively low, but you look at some of the pitches that he's swinging at and missing, like they're nowhere near the zone, you know? So there's this little part of me that thinks maybe it would be okay if we're in that kind of situation like I was just talking about, you know, where you have Rojas Jr. also just completely tearing the cover off the ball. Maybe it would be okay for Sato to head down to the farm for a little while just to work on that plate discipline. You know, it's not a knock against him because obviously he's young, early in his career. The plate discipline thing is going to come with more experience, you know.
Yep.
But maybe just give him a little chance to start picking his pitches a little bit better. And then just, you know, you're sort of just shifting the problem forward to the future, of course, because if he does, you know, pick it up again, then you got to figure out a way to get him back in there. But, you know, that might be one way to do it. And that way, you know, we really stack the lineup, obviously, which would be great for offense. So I'm thinking that's one way to handle it. But then again, then you think about Alcantara, right? If Alcantara is performing really, really well, you know, I don't know if they're thinking more of a starter or bullpen position for him, but either way, if he's pitching really well, you want to figure out a way to get him in there too. So what do you do? I don't know. You know, if they're both performing really well, then it's going to be a really tough choice.
Yeah, well, Sato is kind of like the sixth or the ninth gaijin in a sense. Like, I don't know if you guys listen to the play-by-play guys or the media, but they're all like, oh, gaikokujin no yona taikaku, right? They're always like, he's, or taike or whatever, right? Like, he's got the body of a foreigner. He's got the swing of a foreigner. And I think even like Nakano on the Heroes podium even said the same thing, which was kind of interesting that they would... I mean, they're kind of like self-deprecating in a sense, right? Like, oh, Japanese can't have this kind of body, so he must be like a foreigner. And like, no, he's just like a strong Japanese guy, and just leave it at that.
Big dude, yeah.
Well, anyways, I think Sato's swing has gotten better, or at least his discipline a little bit better. Not to the point where he's, you know what I mean, like going to be an all-star this year, but he has shown a little bit better discipline in the past couple of weeks as compared to the first, say, 3 weeks of the season or so. So I don't know, like, I don't believe in the top squad being a place to develop players. But I think in his case, the farm might be, I don't want to say too easy for him, because he's got a lot to learn. And the thing is, like, the Western League has got some really good pitching. Because, honestly, like, there's no team in the Western League that doesn't have good pitching. We've got the SoftBank Hawks, and, you know, their farm pitching is as good as most teams' top squad pitching. Oryx Buffaloes have a ton of good young talent. They always do. They just have problems developing them for the top squad. Chunichi Dragons are loaded with good young pitchers, and the Carp also are a pretty good team. So all of our competition is quite good down there, and so putting him on the farm is maybe not necessarily a bad idea. The question is... And this throws, I think, another wrench into the whole equation, is the fact that we're paying a ton of money to these guys. And does it matter to us, or does it matter to them, the players themselves? Are they like, well, I don't care, I'm getting paid the same if I'm on the farm or the top squad? Or are they like, no, I want to play in the big stadiums in front of fans and in games that actually matter? Or are they saying like, hey, I'm here and I'm having fun in Japan and the team is doing great and I'm okay being on the farm until I'm needed? Do you know what I mean? Like, their egos and their needs and their understanding of why they're here has got to come into play. And I don't want to necessarily drag Solarte back into the equation. Cue the music. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, this is a guy that, remember, when he left, he said, I'm just not motivated to play. I'm not motivated to be here. And one of the reasons for that is because he was told, my understanding is, like, when he was farmed, first of all, quite prematurely, in my opinion. Then when he was called back up, he was told that day, you're going to be starting on the bench. And he's like, wait a minute, I just destroyed farm pitching. I get called up and now you're telling me I'm going to sit on the bench here? Like, screw this. I think that was kind of what happened with him. And I'm not saying that Rojas or anyone else among our foreigners is, you know, has that same mindset or, you know what I mean? Like, needs his ego stroked, you know, to whatever degree. But that could come into play as well, right? I mean, I'm a bit worried about Chen. He seems like a good guy, and maybe he's okay with being down on the farm, but I think he's already had four starts down there now. His ERA is 1.8 on the farm. But, I mean, you look at our top squad pitching, and, like, I think, well, Nishi's might be over two now, but four of our guys in our rotation are under two.
Yeah. Right? It's nuts.
Yeah, and even, like, Ito, I think Masashi Ito is, like, 2.25, and so, like, I think he might be our worst... starting pitcher, so to speak. And so, yeah, there isn't really room for Chen right now. But I mean, again, we're paying the guy big bucks, and I'm sure he wants to be on the top squad, and he's earning it in a sense, but you know what I mean? Like, this is just such a hard situation, I think.
I would say, like, two things. I mean, first of all, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? Like, I feel like if everything's clicking, like, the team, too, one thing that I like about it is they seem to be really gelling as a unit. Like, they get along really well, it seems. Like after Marte's home runs, you know, he does his little thing there, and everybody's way into it. They all seem [S2] Yep. [S1] To be having a good time. And you don't want to mess with the team chemistry in that sense, you know? And the other thing, too, is that I feel like I want to see them put the best team on the field that they can. And I know, obviously, this whole thing complicates it. But again, like with the whole Sato thing, if putting the best team on the field means that, you know, a Mel Rojas Jr., who's just obliterating farm pitching, comes up and starts, you know, hitting bombs as opposed to Sato, like, I'm okay with that, you know, like... Sure. So those are sort of the two things that I want to see. I think that the team chemistry thing, it's one of those intangibles, but it's really important. You know, these guys are confident, they're working well together. So there's that. And then, I mean, with the ego thing too, like I always think back on Marte, because everybody sort of had this idea, I think, that Marte was going to be the guy who gets shipped off, you know, when Mel Rojas comes over here. And I think in his case, it would be kind of like really rubbing salt in the wound to say, like, you know, we know how well you're performing, but you got to go, you know, because it's just like, no, like he brings so much to the team. I think that you can't just approach it from that side of things. So I say in a way to sort of keep going as they're going, you know, and just try to fit whoever starts performing the best in there wherever you can.
I'm not so sure that, you know, it's a coincidence that he's got 3 home runs in his last 2 games, right? As Rojas completes his quarantine, does his press conference and joins the farm squad. That might have lit a little bit of an extra fire under Marte saying, you're not taking my spot. And of course, Sands, I think, is unmovable. Now, here's something that I just kind of jotted down as I was trying to figure out if this could work. And I still don't know if it could or would work. But using our starting import pitchers in a rotation as such that they're only up on the top squad for their starting days. And you could rotate in 3 guys and they would pitch every 10 days. And it seems to work. So it's maybe not the ideal situation, and it still throws a little bit of a, it throws everything else into a bit of chaos, because then we've got 4 other starters that have to play those other games, right? And then, so that might leave Ito out, but then who else does it leave out, right? I guess we got Fujinami, Aoyagi, Nishi, and Akiyama, and then the 2 foreigner spots. So it might work. But so let's assume that this new situation starts on May 1st or whatever, right? So you got Gunkel on May 1st, you deactivate him, bring him back on the 11th, deactivate him, bring him back on the 22nd, deactivate him, bring him back on June 1st. And then with, for example, Chen, you start him on the 4th, deactivate him, put him in on the 15th, deactivate him, put him in on the 25th, deactivate him, put him in on June 4th. So he's getting those... June 4th still would be 10 days then, I think. And then you do the same thing with Alcantara. You start him on the 8th, deactivate him, put him in on the 18th, then on the 29th, and so on. And it could work
Let me just jump in really quick and ask you. So is it pretty much set that Alcantara, he's going to be a starter? I mean, he was a starter in KBO and he had like 20 wins, right? So that's the idea, yeah?
I'm guessing so. I mean, I haven't talked to Yano about it yet, but I'm pretty sure that's what he's thinking. So
okay. You get on that. You got to give him a call, okay?
I will. As soon as they get back from Tokyo, that's the first thing on the agenda.
Yeah, so imagine that conversation that you as Yano, or maybe Fukuhara as the pitching coach, has with Joe Gunkel, right? Hey, Joe, hey. I know you're 4-0, and you're going to skip a start every week.
Yeah, you're only going to throw every other week or whatever, every 10 days. Yeah, I mean, well, I think as a team player, though, like JD was saying, I mean, you know, if ideally these guys want to do what's best for the team as well, right? I mean, they're not just all about themselves. And I think a guy like Joe Gunkel as well, like he's coming in. I mean, not that salary dictates everything, but I think among the foreigners, he's got the lowest salary. He also kind of had the lowest expectations, and I know that he's performing well, but I look at going to a different sport, but the Toronto Raptors, when they won their championship in the NBA, they did a lot of I think they called it load management, right? Where they said like, okay, I know that you're the star of the team, but you're only playing 26 minutes tonight or whatever it might be, because we want you fresh in June for the finals, right? And I think the same thing could be true here. Now, obviously we've got the Olympic break, whether the Olympics happen or not, that break is in the NPB schedule. I think it's 3 to 4 weeks. I think it's 4 weeks off. So either way, these guys are going to get their rest in. But so I was just bringing that in as a proposal of how we could keep our imports down to 5, but also make the most out of all of these guys and their abilities. So you just kind of bring them in real quick. And that way, I think you could still keep, I mean, only at any given time, one of those starters is up, which means you could still have 2 position players and Suarez, and possibly even either Edwards or a 3rd position player in that mix constantly, right? And then again, you know, if there are injuries or slumps or whatever, then you can do some swappage. Now, a couple of things I want to point out or talk about. Exactly what JD said. If it ain't broken, you don't fix it. And honestly, like whether Rojas and Alcantara are tearing up the farm pitching and batters or not, until this team loses the momentum that they have, if it happens at all, I'm sure it will, don't bring them up. You know, don't play this like, well, I wonder if we can get even stronger. I wonder if we can, you know what I mean? Like, we're 16-4. You know, the team chemistry is good. We've got good balance on the team. You know, we've got like, you know, I mean, we've got some power hitters. We've got some speed guys. We've got all this stuff. The defense is kind of set. People are in rhythms. I think we're the only NPB team that has kept the same hitting order, more or less. Like from first to seventh has stayed the same in every game but one, when Yokawa got a start in place of Sato, right? Mm-hmm. So until these guys start to show a bit of fatigue or until something happens, like there's no need to tinker with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason that Yano is not tinkering with it, because it's working. You know, whether they get shut out, which has happened twice this year, or they score 10 runs, Yano is sticking with him because he knows that ups and downs happen from game to game. If it happens for a week, well, then we got a problem, right? And the other thing that JD said that I would also like to kind of piggyback on is, yeah, I think Sato has got to be the first guy to go. With all due respect to him, he is a rookie. He is unproven, and he probably will be prone to slumps a lot more than anybody else. You know, maybe Nakano might slide a little bit because he can't keep up this four or whatever average that he's got going, and his on-base percentage is outstanding. But so those are the two guys that I think are the first that can get kind of swapped out. And we do have capable guys, even without Rojas Jr., even without some of these other, you know, import players, we have replacements for them, right? I mean, like it or not, Kinami was our shortstop last year, and he could still fill in. Yamamoto could fill in at shortstop. Obata is leading the Western League in batting average. He could be called up and be the shortstop as well. So we have guys that could replace Nakano if things don't go particularly well for him. And for Sato, and we've got Yokawa there, heck, we could put Itoi in for a start or two. I wouldn't want to do that, you know, on a regular basis, but there's that possibility. And there's other guys as well. And so I think like the rookies, I think are maybe even a bigger variable than the imports. Once we figure out a comfortable way to make sure that the imports are happy and that they're being used and that, you know what I mean? Like they are hitting stride and that there's good team chemistry. But on the whole, man, I like the, as you said, JD, the chemistry, when Marte hits the home runs, the, what is it called? La Pampara, I think they call it. Whatever. Yeah. Man, I'm so glad they didn't go with Happy Arrow. That was one of the things they were thinking about. And I was like, yeah, you got Happy Hands. No, it was there. And they were like, Happy Arrow is so much easier to remember than La Pampara. And it's like, just learn a word of Spanish for crying out loud. I mean, Marte wants to call it that, or that's what he's called it. Go with it, right? I like the Happy Hands. You know what I mean? Like, the imports that are there seem to be doing really well. Gunkel does well on the hero podium, which he seems to be there every freaking Sunday. He's the hero, man. But he's doing well. He's picking up Japanese too, which is kind of cool to see. And so those guys are fitting in well. By the way, just as a side note, I like Edward's comment too. When he got called up, he's like, hey, now I just hope that the team doesn't start losing when I get called up, because I don't want to be the reason that this good thing comes to an end. And well, he gave up one run, but it was a six-run lead, so it was definitely not crucial by any means. And give him that mulligan, and if he's in a crucial situation, hopefully he'll put up a zero. So yeah, I like though what the whole team is doing. You know, everybody's doing quite well. Chikamoto's finally starting to heat up as well. Oyama, even before his two home runs last night, he was finding ways to bring guys home.
I mean,
he was like fourth in the Central in RBIs with one home run. Kind of reminded me of Sano of the Bay Stars last year, who took forever to get his first home run, but was like near the top of the RBI board. You know, and so that's the nice thing about Oyama that I like about his game now, is he's finding ways and he knows what he needs to do at the plate. Like, even if he can't find his exact swing or get that home run stroke going, he's finding ways to say, look, we need a run right now. I'm going to find a way to get it done. And the proof was in that one, that game where we had runners on second and third. And he said, I'm just going to hit the ball to where the runner on third can come home. I'm just going to bring a run home. Ended up bringing home two. He only got the one RBI, but he did his job. So there you go. Any other thoughts on the import situation or the team's chemistry or anything else right now, guys?
I just want to say one thing quickly and just sing the praises of our sort of unsung hero in Nakano. just because of the defense, man. I mean, how long has it been since you've seen a guy reliably make tough plays at short? You know, I mean, I don't want to knock Kinami, but it's just you feel like there's a lot less of a chance of balls getting through when Nakano's over there. And I like that presence that he brings to the defensive side of things as well.
Yeah, not only that, but he brings the wow factor on defense. I don't know, he's like comes out of nowhere multiple times. You mentioned the one against the Bay Stars, but even yesterday he had a nice play, you know, almost a double play that he turned or that he started. And he's, like I said before, his range is like everywhere. And he's fast. And I hadn't quite realized, but not only did he graduate from college, but he also played in the industrial leagues for a while. So he was expected to step in and contribute right away, and he's doing that. You know, he's not like your regular rookie that, you know, is green out of or fresh out of school or something like that. So I think we ride him as long as we can, and you're right that we have a lot of capable replacements. But, you know, until and when he hits a slump, keep going.
He went to the same college as Yano and Kanemoto as well, just as a little side trivia. And also, his parents are huge Tigers fans. He grew up as a Tigers fan, as did Sato. So welcome to the family, boys, and glad you're in the starting lineup. All right, let's look ahead and predict the fortnight to come.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to happen with the record going
to be? So we are going to complete this series against the Giants tonight and tomorrow. How it ends, we don't know, but we'll be facing Hatake tonight with Aoyagi on the mound. Aoyagi's rainout on Saturday, Mr. Ameyagi, means that he's available for this crucial series against the Giants. And then it'll be Yuki Takahashi, he who has allowed just one run this season, going up against Takumi Akiyama for the second time this year. That will be the one that ends this series. Then we play the Bay Stars at home. Not their home slash our home, but our home slash our home. So we'll see how that goes. But again, it's a weekend series against them, much like the last one. Following that, we will be in Nagoya against the Dragons, who are pitiful this year, especially when it comes to run production. And in their barn against our pitching, I feel pretty good about that matchup. Then we're going to host the Carp for kind of the pre-Golden Week series. And then for Golden Week, we're going to be in Tokyo against the Yakult Swallows. So we got 14 games actually until we talk again next. Guys, we're 12 games above 500, 16 wins, 4 losses. How do you think these 14 games pan out for us? Sanjay.
I'm just doing the math on a little piece of paper over here.
Hey, just so you know, just while you're calculating, we're the only NPB team without a tie. Does that streak keep going or not? That'll be interesting to see. Anyways, go ahead, Sanjay.
Yeah, I have us going 8-5-1. We will have a tie in there.
Okay. And no rainouts.
Yeah. No rainouts.
Okay. JD.
Yeah, that's funny. I have the exact same thing, 8-5-1. I think that we cool down just a little bit. I think we could probably eke out the win against Hatake. Takahashi right now, though, I mean, in 3 starts, he's got an ERA of 0.41. So I'm not super enthused about that idea right now. But then again, I mean, you look what we did with Morishita. You know, we beat him all over the park, too. So you never know. You know, that dome is going to have a tough time containing our bats, I think. So we might do it. But I'm thinking, you know, for the Giants, the rest of the Giants series, it might be tough. But I'd say we can take, you know, maybe at least 2 out of 3 in each of the series after that. So, but yeah, we're probably due for a tie, unfortunately. But yeah, 8-5-1, I think, is not too optimistic right now. I think that if anything, that might be, you know, lowballing it a little bit, actually.
Well, then we may as well make it unanimous. I mean, I didn't really have a hard number coming into this segment anyway, so we'll just go 8-5-1 as well. I think the tie is going to come in Nagoya. Weird things happen in that dome, which has now been renamed, I think, the Vantilene Dome, something like that.
Oh, man.
Yes, yeah, whatever. Anyhow, I mean, something's going to happen there. We're probably going to get a tie in Nagoya. But yeah, we'll go 8-5-1 and we'll be happy with those numbers. I believe we are avoiding facing Morishita this time around against the Carp, which will make things interesting. We also get the back end of, I don't even know what the back end of the Swallows rotation looks like, man, but we get the back end of their rotation. So that's not a bad thing either. So yeah, I think 8-5-1 is maybe the bare minimum. I hope it's the bare minimum. And yeah, let us keep this good thing going, Hanshin Tigers. It has been a fun season to follow this team, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. Thanks for tuning in to H10. That's all we got for you today, except for the post show, which is coming soon. And if you haven't gotten your fill of Tigers news, we've got the YouTube channel where we put up these post shows, and they're all a lot of fun. You can check us out on Patreon for some exciting benefits, including the game viewing party on April the 30th, as I mentioned earlier. You can check out the website, which I've been posting daily kind of recaps or scoreboards on every game that we've played so far this year. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm fast approaching the 3,000 follower mark on there, so if you can help out with that, that would be great. Follow us on Instagram. Not much going on there because I'm not out taking pictures. And also, we've got the Facebook group for the old school crew who is still on the FB. Details for all those things are in the show notes. By the way, I'm an old school FB guy, so I'm not putting you down, I'm putting me down. This special thanks to Anwar Amr for the theme music, and Show, the show mixer, for making this all happen as well. Thanks, JD, for joining today.
Thank you.
And Sanjay, thank you as well.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Mahalo. Catch you next time, everyone.
Aloha.